you are with me.
Continuing with Bernard Shaw's St. Joan in Drama on Three.
You must not talk to me about my voices.
How do you mean voices?
I hear voices telling me what to do.
Tonight at 8:30 on BBC Radio 3.
Well, the time now is just after 1 o'clock. Time for the news with Ian Skelly.
Labour is calling for a full statement from the Prime Minister tomorrow about the role played by a friend of the Defence Secretary, Liam Fox. David Cameron has asked to see the first results of a civil service investigation into the links between Dr. Fox and Adam Werity. The Observer newspaper says it has video footage which appears to show Mr. Werity present during a private meeting between Dr. Fox and the President of Sri Lanka last year. The deputy leader of the Labour Party, Harriet Harman, described the allegations as very serious indeed. Forces of Libya's National Transitional Council say they've taken a convention centre in Sirte, where most of the remaining fighters loyal to Colonel Gaddafi are based. A military commander said the capture of the complex opened the way for his forces to take the city's centre. Hundreds of people are reported to have been killed during several days of clashes. The board of the troubled bank, Dexia, is meeting shortly in Brussels. Reports say the French and Belgian prime ministers are meeting beforehand to finalise a deal to dismantle the bank. Dexia is heavily exposed to Greek and Italian government debt and faces its second rescue in 3 years. The German Chancellor, Angela Merkel, is meeting the French President, Nicolas Sarkozy, to discuss the Eurozone crisis. They'll try to reach agreement on how to protect those banks likely to be hardest hit if Greece defaults on its debts. The Prime Minister of New Zealand, John Key, says serious questions need to be answered about why a container ship ran aground and leaked oil onto one of the country's most environmentally sensitive coastlines. Mr. Key said two separate inquiries had started into the accident. In rugby, New Zealand are through to the semi-finals of the World Cup after beating Argentina 33-10 in Auckland. They'll play Australia, who beat South Africa by 11-9. And the weather, it'll be a cloudy afternoon with outbreaks of rain across northern and central England and Wales. It'll be drier and brighter elsewhere and feel warm in the south. And that's the BBC News and the weather. It's 2:30 past one.
With Ian Skelly. Well, now it's time to delve once more into the music of the distant past with today's early music show. Here's Catherine Bott.
Hello. In today's programme, we celebrate King Dinis, a remarkable man born in the year 1261, who ruled Portugal for 46 years, which gave him ample time to consolidate both his country's economy and its frontiers, to limit the powers of the aristocracy and to resolve conflicts in the church. His wisdom, prudence and passion for justice made his country harmonious, and he himself was hugely generous, lending large sums to the King of Castile and making a commercial treaty with King Edward II of England, which earned him this little couplet of praise in Old English. Good King Dinis doth just as he please, for a king with such gold may do as he would. You need a bit of creative thinking to make those rhymes work, but you see where I'm going. What's he doing in the early music show, though? Well, the court of Dom Dinis I was a refuge for poets and minstrels from all over the Iberian Peninsula and beyond, with a specially warm welcome for the troubadores who wrote in the Galician Portuguese language. Music and poetry were in the king's blood. After all, his Spanish grandfather was Alfonso the Wise.
Ave nos, ave nos, ave nos, amigo.
Music for the Virgin Mary from 13th century Spain, performed by Brigitte Lehne, a song of praise, Entre Ave Eva, built on a play on words. Eva took us away from heaven, Ave puts us back there. It's from the great collection called Las Cantigas de Santa Maria, assembled by King Alfonso X of Castile and León. Alfonso was known as El Sabio, the Wise. His reign began 9 years before his grandson, Dom Dinis of Portugal, was born, and was full of disappointments. He inherited a chaotic military setup and a ruling class of Bolshe barons, and despite his much-vaunted wisdom, he managed to squander vast sums of money in vain exploits like laying claim to the title of Holy Roman Emperor, a valuable lesson in how not to do it for Dom Dinis. Alfonso was, however, blessed with a formidable intellect, which he did indeed use wisely. Despite living through an all-out attempt to rid Iberia of her Moorish conquerors, he fostered a truly ecumenical scientific and cultural climate, where astronomers flourished, where his team of Jewish, Christian and Muslim scholars translated books from Arabic into Castilian, and where musicians and poets were cherished. Alfonso had a hand in the assembly of a number of musical works, most famously the Cantigas de Santa Maria, or Songs to the Virgin Mary, one of the largest collections of monophonic songs from the Middle Ages. For these songs, Alfonso turned to the language of northwestern Spain, Galician, nowadays sometimes called Gallo-Portuguese. Castilian Spanish may have been the official language of scholarship and administration, but for poetry and songs in 13th century Spain, the only tongue was Galician. The trovadores of the time were highly prized for their compositions, which were an expressive blend of Spanish and Provençal traditions. Here's another of the Cantigas de Santa Maria.
Santa Maria leva, o benché per eva, o benché
one of the Cantigas de Santa Maria, performed by the Klemencic consort. Alfonso X was wise, dynastically speaking, in siring at least 12 children, 10 within marriage, and several more out of wedlock. One of these illegitimate children, Beatrice of Castile, went on to marry Alfonso III of Portugal, a man 11 years older than her father. 8 years later, in 1261, Beatrice gave birth to their first child, Prince Dinis. And the poetry and music gene may have skipped a generation. Nothing is known of Beatrice's abilities, but Dinis became a poet of considerable accomplishment.
Bye.
The lovely girl arose at dawn and went to wash her clothes in the stream, but the wind lifted them from her. A simple tale, replete with symbolic possibilities. Levantus Avelida, words by King Dinish of Portugal, melody reconstructed by Kit Higginson of Ensemble Alcatraz, the performers there. And as with the cantiga we heard at the beginning of the programme, the nuances of Dinish's poem rely on wordplay. The most important word in the poem is alva, A-L-V-A, which has a double meaning. It's white, clean, bright, but it's also the moment of sunrise. So the lyric is lapped with little waves of soft L's and V's. Vailas lavar alva. You're listening to The Early Music Show with me, Catherine Bott, and today we're looking at the literary and musical accomplishments of Dom Dinish of Portugal, grandson of the compiler of the Cantigas de Santa Maria, Alfonso the Wise of Castile. At the age of 5, young Prince Dinish travelled all the way to Seville to see his grandfather Alfonso, who rewarded him with the Algarve, as grandfathers do. The little prince will have heard some good music in Seville. Alfonso once wrote that listening to songs and instrumental melodies should feature among the pleasures that the king should avail himself of at times for taking solace amid worries and cares. As he grew up, Dinish was educated musically by eminent masters who had studied in Paris. He got to know the music of French troubadours like Bernard de Ventadorn and Geoffrey Rudel. Dinish lost his elderly father in 1279, and 5 years later his grandfather Alfonso died. The young king, barely out of his teens, made his court the last refuge for Galician Portuguese troubadores. And he didn't just enjoy listening to them. He began to join them with his own endeavours, composing satirical songs, cantigas de amor, short but complex courtly love songs, and more than 50 examples of that quintessential Galician lyric, the Cantiga de Amigo. One of the greatest exponents of the Cantiga de Amigo is the Galician Martin Kudas, who was not so much a courtly troubadour, more of a jogral, a more proletarian, jobbing musician and entertainer. Kudas is important because until recently the only Galician lyrics to survive together with their melodies were his 7 Cantigas de Amigo, which can lay claim to being the first ever song cycle telling the hopeless and heartbreaking story of a girl who looks over the Bay of Vigo waiting in vain for her lover to return. These simple, incantatory and hugely powerful songs were discovered by chance in 1913 by an antiquarian bookseller in Madrid. They were stuck in the cover of an ancient parchment by the Roman philosopher Cicero. All but the 6th song have melodies as well as lyrics. And here's one of them. Mandade comigo. My love is on his way home to me. Mother, I'm going to Vigo.
Thank you.
one of the 7 Cantigas de Amigo by Martin Kodash, performed by Brigitte Lehn. So these haunting songs were discovered in 1913 and have presented an exciting interpretative challenge to scholars and performers ever since. And as I've already said, they were thought to have been the only Galician lyrics with music to have survived since the 13th century. Then, in 1990, the American professor Harvey Scharrer was in the National Archives in Lisbon investigating a fragment of a manuscript from about the year 1300 when he stumbled upon the incomplete melodies of 7 songs. After some more intuitive detective work by the professor, the manuscript is now called the Scharrer Parchment after him, the songs were found to be Cantigas de Amor, courtly love songs, by King Dom Dinis himself. We're going to hear the King's 7 songs now, performed by Paul Hillier's Theatre of Voices. There's a prevailing theme. The poet always longs for an unattainable, sometimes wilfully cruel, noble lady of great beauty. And they're convincing examples of a specialised sort of musical subset. As the 14th century musical theorist Johannes de Grocheo wrote, Cantus Coronatus is normally composed by kings and nobles and is sung in the presence of kings and lords of the land so as to move their spirits towards boldness and strength, magnanimity and liberality, all of which are things that lead to good government.
Poisque vos Deus, amigo, quergisar dir desta terra, due mia Senhor. Rogo vos ora que por qual amor vos hei liquerades tanto rogar que se doia já e pois sabe de
Sazon. Seus
The first three of the seven Cantigas de Amor by Dom Dinis I of Portugal, performed by Theatre of Voices, directed by Paul Hillier. During the king's long reign, one of the most significant things he did to unite his country was to declare in 1290 that the language of the people should become the language of the state, known as Portuguese. He and his wife, Infanta Isabel of Aragon, worked together on numerous philanthropic projects aimed at easing and modernising the lives of their poorest subjects, especially those who worked on the land, and he soon became known as the Farmer King. But Dinis was keen to see his country's intellectual reputation acknowledged too. It was his decree that saw the founding of the University of Lisbon, also in 1290. 9 years later, he established a royal chapel. Portugal was going to have everything that a proper modern nation needed. And while he rested from all that, he wrote several books himself on hunting and scientific matters, as well as his poetry and songs. Here are songs 4 and 5 from the Shara parchment, discovered as recently as 1990 and still subject to conjectural reconstruction. The performers once again are Theatre of Voices, directed by Paul Hillier.
Senhor, de mi vida.
fior fremosa, quando cui deu in vos e non è no mal che mi vem por vos toda quel tempe lei de mais por gramara via per tanie de mi vir de vos mal Deus non pos mal de qua Señor muy gran placer mi pere quando en vos cuida non è de cuidar in quanto mal mi fa gran maravilla tan eu que de mi vir de vos mal o Deus non pos mal de Deus semeia mui sem razão da vere o mal do o Deus não pos
Theatre of Voices with Songs of Love by the King of Portugal. 137 of the King's Galician lyrics are preserved in two early 16th century manuscripts, more than those of any other poet. It's pleasant to think of this kindly, imaginative and discerning monarch enjoying all the fruits of a prosperous nation and good health to enjoy a long reign. Remember that little English couplet. Good King Dinis doth just as he please, for a king with such gold may do as he would. But that's not the whole picture. Towards the end of his life, the king must have been wearied by the constant jockeying for position of his two sons, both called Afonso, one his legitimate heir, the other from the other side of the regal blanket. By the time of his death in 1325, though, Dinis had established Portugal on equal terms with the other kingdoms of the Iberian Peninsula. He had followed his Spanish grandfather, Alfonso the Wise, as a poet and musician of distinction. and in a neat piece of symmetry, his grandson became Alfonso XI of Castile and León. To end today's programme, Theatre of Voices, directed by Paul Hillier, sing the last two Cantigas de Amor by Dom Dinis of Portugal.
Seu traidor,
The sixth and seventh Cantigas de Amor by King Dom Dinis of Portugal, performed there by Theatre of Voices, directed by Paul Hillier, and it ends today's early music show. The programme was presented by Catherine Bott and produced by Sam Phillips in Manchester, and that programme was first broadcast in 2009. Well, at 4 o'clock this afternoon, there's another chance to hear last Wednesday's choral evensong service from Exeter Cathedral. We'll be hearing music by Stephen Tanner, Richard Shepherd, Ronald Corp and Philip Moore. And then at 5 in the choir, Alid Jones talks to the composer Roland Lee about his Requiem. But the time now is just after 2 o'clock, and our Sunday concert, introduced this week by Susie Klein.
Hello, and a very warm welcome to this concert given by one of the great musical success stories of recent times, the Budapest Festival Orchestra under its founder conductor, Ivan Fischer. On the programme, music by just one composer, Richard Wagner, and a sweeping survey of some of the best loved of his operas and music dramas. With the overture and bacchanal from Tannhäuser, the overture to Wagner's only comic opera, Die Meistersinger, alongside extracts from Götterdämmerung. The concert was recorded earlier this year in one of Europe's most cutting-edge postmodern temples to music, the Concertgebouw in Bruges. Less than a decade old, it opened in 2002 as part of the city's Capital of Culture celebrations. Well, joining the Budapest Festival Orchestra in this concert is the Danish soprano, Ava Johansson. She appears as Brunhilde. But first, we open with Wagner's Siegfried Idyll, famously written for his wife Cosima as a birthday present. First heard in the Wagner's lakeside home in Lucerne in Switzerland, the players gathering together in secret on the staircase Christmas morning 1870. Cosima, woken that day by the strains of the Siegfried idyll drifting into her sunlit orange wallpapered bedroom. Now that's what you call a birthday present worth having. Wagner's Siegfried idyll, performed by the Budapest Festival Orchestra, conducted by Ivan Fischer.
Thank you.